Hello there, my name's Peter, and I'm a member of Grace Church, and on behalf of the elders, I'd just like to welcome you to this time of sharing around God's Word. And at the moment, we're studying the letter of Peter, the first letter of Peter, and as we've been going through it, we've come to chapter 3, verses 8 to 22, and that's my portion this morning, as I want to share with you. But before we actually start, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will help us understand the verses that we're going to consider, not just to understand them, but to put them actually in practice in our daily lives. Help us be what you want us to be so that we can glorify you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what we're coming to here in this letter of Peter is that Peter's talking about suffering. His main theme is suffering. And the theme that is really running through, as we've seen, being developed from the beginning, is one of resilience. Being resilient, being able to lift ourselves up once again and keep on going in spite of all the difficulties. And we learn how to be resilient in our lives. And we see this in the life of Paul as an example of resilience in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He gives a personal testimony, really. He says this: "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be also revealed in our body." Paul was willing to suffer, willing to face difficulties, obstacles. He was hurt, I'm sure, emotionally many times. And in spite of all that, he's willing to get up and keep on going. And that's what God, and that's what Peter really is encouraging us at this time too. And really, I could say this, that the secret of the Christian life is to live in this time of today, to live for today, not in the past, not for the future, but to live for our reality today. It's so easy to get bogged down in the past, and we mustn't continually look to the past and the hurts and the difficulties or how we've had to suffer and just look at that and say, oh. Neither are we just to look at the future, although it's a glorious hope, it's one that inspires us. Yet if we just keep on looking to the future, we'll be people who are just, we won't live in reality. The reality of life is this, that we will be hurt. There are hurts. There are difficulties. Like Jesus suffered for us as an example. And if Jesus had to suffer, so will we. Let's not pretend that our life is going to be a bed of roses. No, there are lots of thorns in this bed of life. In order to learn resilience and be resilient, we must face opposition. Difficulties and opposition and difficulties, and overcome them in the name of Jesus. Not just submit to them and woe is me mentality and this is not fair. Oh dear me. No. That life is difficult. And people are difficult. Oops, perhaps I shouldn't say, you're not, are you? No, but I must admit, I wouldn't like to live with me all the time. Well, I do really, but you know what I mean. I don't know how my wife Janet puts up with me sometimes, but we won't go down there. But, you know, I want us to think about this morning of being resilient in spite of. And what in verses 8 and 9, which are the two verses that we'll be thinking about in this whole portion that we've mentioned that we are studying, in verses 8 and 9, we see here that we must be resilient in order to develop healthy relationships. Resilience in order to develop healthy relationships. Finally, all of you, Peter says, finally. It's not the end of the letter. It's just the end of a section from verse 12 of chapter 2 to verse 7 of chapter 3, where it's talking about different areas of submission that we must be involved with. And as we look at that, he says, finally, to sum it up, all of you, and he's talking to us, those who have been called according to God's purpose, those who have been called together to work and to live together in Christian harmony. He says this, finally, all of you live in harmony. The first of this Christian attitude that we must have and develop, and it can only be developed through resilience. Sometimes it can be difficult to relate to people meaningfully, difficult to relate to people, full stop sometimes. We can be hurt because of something said or done to us, especially when we have tried to help them. And we must be resilient in trying to form healthy relationships. We must keep on pressing through, not just, oh dear. This is what Peter is on about. As we come to this, we see this first Christian characteristic, this attitude of being in harmony with one another. And the key thought that runs through each one of these attitudes is one of love. And love in the context that the way that I see it is this. Basically means to give ourselves to others to give ourselves to others without looking for reward from them. To give ourselves to others in spite of their reaction to us. And these attitudes are not independent one of another. They all combine together to so that we can show something of the life of Jesus in us and in our lives. And what we must realize in all healthy relationships, a key issue is that we personally are willing to take the initiative to bring peace wherever there's disharmony. It's Jesus who says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. We are responsible. You can't ask the other person to come up and apologize. If there's a hurt, you go and sort it out. That's what we have to build relationships, healthy relationships. And we must be resilient in doing that. There are times when we think this is all that we're doing. We're always apologizing. We're always trying to make peace and whatever. But we have to try to live in harmony. And the reality of a Christian life is this. That no person can live the Christian life if he's not in unity or in harmony with his fellow brothers and sisters. It's vital. If we genuinely love one another, we will seek always to be in harmony. Let me just give two simple illustrations here. Do I insist on getting my own way or think that my way is best? It's awfully difficult to live with a person that thinks they know everything and can do everything. Are we willing to be resilient and to stretch out and to say, okay, I'm not perfect and I need help from others? Do I refrain from saying unkind things about others, even though they are true? It's so easy to know that you're right, but it's not always the right time to say that you're right. Let's be fair about it. It is best to be quiet until we can say something in love than say it at all. We must learn to be resilient in not focusing on the failures of others, but focus on how we can foster harmony and be of the same mind. We must be sympathetic. Believers are also to be sympathetic. By that I mean caring deeply about the needs, the joys and the sorrows of others, not just being indifferent. Paul says it this way, talking about the body of Jesus Christ. How does he say it? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. In other words, we enjoy, we are sympathetic to the needs and the situation of others. We should never be indifferent to the needs of others. We should never just think, oh, well, that's life. A sad reality of life is that it's all too easily to become indifferent, hardened to the suffering of others. For example, we have the situation today of COVID, don't we? Where we've heard of so many people who have been infected, they've been terribly sick. We've heard of so many people who have died, and the numbers sort of just wash over our heads, sort of stuff. And it's so easy not to think about the families involved, the suffering involved, and all its difficulties. But we are to be sympathetic, or we can be indifferent to the persecuted church. There are parts in Africa, in Asia, where the church is going through tremendous persecution. And it's not just enough to say, oh, God, help my brother and sister that's being persecuted. We have to get involved. We have to learn this sympathy, this empathy, this understanding and going through with them as well. We must learn to be resilient in stepping out of our own little world and think of others, and where possible, get involved to help. Can I say that again? We must learn to be resilient in stepping out of our own little world and think of others, and where possible, get involved. It's so easy to be lost in me. I don't know if that sounds right, but it's so easy to be lost in just ourselves, when we have to step out and think of others and get involved. Who are you involved with? Who are you involved in helping in these days? You may say to me, oh, well, you know, we can't meet one with another and whatever. Look, there's WhatsApp. That's free. That's a goodie. That's a good propaganda for WhatsApp. You can pick up a telephone and phone people. You can actually, listen to this one. You can actually join in on the Zoom on a Sunday morning after this service, for example, and share with one another. It's great breaking into these little community rooms. We can just share. It's just nice. And to learn of our brothers and sisters and how they're getting on, etc. We must learn sympathy. Be sympathetic. And genuine love for others stirs us to want to help those in need. If we love other people, if we have this ethos of love within us, we want to help others. And the simple question is this: do I feel the hurt and pain of others, or am I indifferent? Can I help them in their difficulties? At least I can pray for them. We must learn to be resilient in stepping out in our own little world, out of our own little world, and getting involved to help others. And then Peter says, love as brothers, in verse 8 here. And the exhortation to brotherly love shows that he's speaking really basically to Christians, although we can argue that he's speaking to non-Christians as well. But his main emphasis is to Christians. And our common relationship with Christ unites us in the same family, into the same family. And one of the evidence of our Christian faith is a genuine love one for another. We love as brothers. You know, I think probably one of the greatest things that we are missing as a fellowship and as Christians really is this meeting up together and chatting and nattering and having a good cup of tea or whatever, or coffee, whatever your preference is. And that's it. You know, we just enjoy being with one another. We've got to love one another. Jesus says this, and it's a startling statement really: by this all men will know that you are my disciples. How are they going to know I'm a disciple of Jesus? That I love my brethren. That we love one another. And to love one another, we need to be resilient. We get hurt, as I've said. There are difficulties. Yes, of course. But we know that because we have been so loved of God, because we have been forgiven by God, we can love and we can forgive in the strength of the example that he's given us through his life in us. We must learn to be resilient in learning to genuinely love others, not holding grudges or hurts, by lifting ourselves up and moving forward in God, not being stuck in a rut, but moving out with God. And just practically, we can apply this. For example, just asking a simple question to ourselves: am I willing to sacrifice my personal rights for the benefit and growth of others, just as Christ gave himself for me? If one Christian in our Christian family is hurting, do I hurt with them? Or am I indifferent to their hurts and trials? Brotherly love. Without it, people won't see that we belong to Jesus. Be compassionate. Suffering together with others, Peter says. Fourth attitude, you're putting ourselves, I'm going to put it this way really, putting ourselves in the shoes of the suffering and trying to help them in practical ways in their situation. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32, he says, be compassionate, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, if you don't remember anything else, okay, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ, just as in Christ God forgave you. That sounds a wrong way of saying it anyway, but we catch the idea, don't we? Compassion is rooted in love, and mercy is rooted in love and mercy, and experience, because we have received forgiveness of our sins through Jesus. And we will be willing to forgive. We will become compassionate, ready to suffer for others. And the question here would be, am I sensitive to those who are suffering hardship at this time? It's very similar to being sympathetic, I suppose, and loving the brothers. Am I sensitive to the feelings of those who are slow to catch on or who fail? Who are not on my intellectual wavelength? Who are not like me? We must learn to be resilient in showing compassion for others by trying to help them where possible in their situation. Obviously, we can't go over into Africa where people are suffering persecution right now and help them. There's so many barriers right now, you can't even fly there really, but we won't go down that one or up that one. Okay, so what I've got here is this. Why don't we just ask God, Lord, help us. Help me to be compassionate, to be able to stand in the shoes of others that are suffering, so that I can be sensitive to your spirit to know how to help them, to know how to help them be strengthened in you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And, okay, we have to be humble. I'm ever so humble. No. We have to be humble. In other words, I suppose we could say, others are considered more important than ourselves. Well, how can that be? I mean, you know, I'm intellectually a bit better, or you know, I got a lot more money than... No, it's nothing to do with that. It's just the reality of realizing that we're all sinners saved by God's grace. We're all equal. Nobody can say I'm better than or greater than. We are all sinners saved by grace as part of the family of God. And we have to learn to be humble. And I just think of the example of Jesus. He humbled himself. He came down from heaven's glory. He was in paradise and he came and he dwelt amongst us. Amazing. He actually kneeled down and washed his disciples' feet. He was put upon a cross and died for us. What an amazing example of humility. So these five words are joined together through love and through this expression of we are willing to give ourselves one for another. We are resilient in that we will always be willing. As we go into this, I want to come into verse 9. I haven't got much more time, but into verse 9, and I just want to read it. This is mind-boggling. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Do not repay evil with evil. Resilience in blessing, or really resilience in not insulting others, but in blessing them. And resilience is the capacity to remember to recover from difficulties, to recover from hurts. And how should we react when we've been hurt and the situation is difficult? Our natural instinct is to want to get revenge. We want to get the last word. We want to even hurt the person that's hurt us, you know. Lamech, in chapter 5 of Genesis, boasts that he killed a man because the man just hit him. He just took... you went to the extreme, and we would like to go to the extreme sometimes. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. And now this is a fascinating construction here. I'm not going to go into details with it, but it literally, it's a command, okay, but it's a continual thing. Continually forgiving the offender, the offense or the offenses. It requires that there be no retaliation for all the ill treatment that we received. Jesus says it this way: if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That's pretty hardcore, man, okay? That's resilience, coming back from difficult circumstances and not holding grudges. And remember, Peter's writing to a persecuted church here. And he's saying this, we must not retaliate. Okay, let's put it bluntly, you must not retaliate. We too might be facing a problem, a difficulty, where we've been seriously wronged or maligned. Our words and our actions must always resist the temptation to give back as good as we got, and even better, in inverted commas. And he says this, instead of insulting and cursing or whatever, blessing. And it's a wonderful word. It's an amazing word. Okay, the study of blessing in the Bible is fascinating. And he says, be blessed because to those we were called so that we may inherit a blessing. By blessing, Peter simply means this. Believers, you and I, are to ask God to show his favor and grace upon those who have hurt us. I repeat that one. Blessing is asking God to show favor and grace upon those who have hurt us. The reality of life is that the more we dwell on difficulties, negative aspects, the worse it gets. And the writer to Hebrews says, take care that a root of bitterness doesn't grab hold of you, doesn't grow within you. And this requires definite resilience to go the extra mile and to put our personal rights and preferences behind us or to the side and audibly declare our blessing over those who have hurt us. And I think it's important that we declare a blessing out loud. You don't have to shout it out, but you have to be able to hear it. It's a biblical principle. For example, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We are saved by audibly confessing that we believe in Jesus, okay? And an audible confession declares, confirms, and seals the belief in the mind and heart. When we hear it, it comes back to us. And we remember what we have spoken in obeying God's command. And that's the thing of a blessing. Jesus isn't asking us isn't asking us to wait until we feel calmer over the situation, wait until we feel that we can actually do a blessing, wait until we feel that, you know, everything's all right now and then we can bless them and ask God to help them. No. This is a command. God commands us to bless our brothers and sisters, whatever their situation, whatever they've done to us, whatever they haven't done for us. That's our responsibility. And we have to be resilient in being willing to let God have his way through us. As we bless, we too will receive a blessing. I don't know how God does that, but because we obey him, in obedience there's blessing. Because we speak out audibly, we hear what we're saying and we repeat it to ourselves as well, and we keep on blessing. And the word to bless you is a continual thing. It isn't just bless once, it's a continually blessing. When you think of a situation that, when you remember that situation, you remember you bless them, you remember that, and you keep on blessing. Do you catch the idea here? It's not just enough to say, oh, I bless you, Lord, help them, show them your grace. No. Bless them, Lord. Help them, show them your grace, be merciful to them. And every time you remember what they've done against them, you bless them until the victory is yours in Jesus Christ. So what we've got to write to right now, and I've got to stop because of the time, is this, that we have responsible to be peacemakers, to be people who help form healthy relationships with others, and in spite of what they do or say, we are resilient in forming, in looking, making harmony, helping for harmony, and resilient in being sympathetic, resilient in loving our brothers and sisters, resilient in being compassionate, and going through what we continue to suffer, but we are doing the right thing because we're following Jesus and being resilient to the situation. Then with that, there comes this amazing truth. We can only really, really bless when these attitudes are within us, this Christ-born identity is within us, for harmony, for unity, for all that God's got for us. May God give us the strength as his people this morning to really just understand these verses. I think they're absolutely amazing. And I would love to encourage you to look through the rest of the verses, because they build up on what Peter has been saying. But what a great God we have. Well, I hope to see you on Zoom in a moment. Don't get lost. Please come and join us on Zoom. It's a commercial again. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. And may he help you to be resilient in all things for God's glory. Amen.